Good morning, Crossroads Arlington. How are you guys doing this morning? Thanks so much for having you here. We're so glad that you're here. Thanks so much for being with us. Thank you guys so much for joining us online live. We hope you're live with us right now. Make sure you check in the Facebook comments, or if you're going to watch later in the day or later in the week, so glad that you're tracking with us. We have a great morning in store. Wow. Can I start over? Can we start this up? No. We have a great morning for you guys this morning. We're just going to continue on like we've been doing faithfully through Revelation. So excited to hear what Joe has to say this morning. And more importantly, we've got a song behind me. So let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. And God, thank you so much that you, Lord, are everything to us and for us. God, may we worship at your feet this morning in this song. May we, God, just respond with your gaze upon us as we fix our eyes on you this morning in worship and in sermon. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd be here and move and indwell and highlight to us the things that we need to be highlighted as you continue to grow us, God, in this season of unpredictability. But Lord, you are not unpredictable. You are infinite and all-wise and unmoved. So may we worship at that. It's in your name. Amen.
Your blood and my acceptance. Now I'm alive to bring you praise. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Every chain is broken through you, Jesus. Where the Spirit and your blood and my acceptance. Now I'm alive to bring you praise. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Every chain shout it out.
Amen. Amen. That feel good? It does, doesn't it? You know, that song, man, I never thought about this. I just thought about it as I heard the song. That song, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. It means that, like, we can actually be free in the hardest, most difficult times of life and still experience, like, freedom in Christ. Freedom in our mind, freedom in our emotions, freedom in our spirit, freedom in our body. Regardless of circumstance, situation, how we feel, good, bad, ugly, tired, lazy, whatever. The freedom of the Lord has no stipulation in regards to being free in him. So I don't know if that makes sense to you guys this morning or not. We all come in carrying things, right? But let that sink in that regardless of what you're carrying or what you're facing or what you're processing through in life, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, and if you're a believer, he's inside, you're living in you, there's freedom that nothing can put handcuffs and chains on you and hold you down and say you're not moving forward anymore. But you're free. Be free and embrace that this morning. Amen? Amen. Y'all make some noise for the worship band, man, this morning. Tanya and the guys sounding amazing. I want to do something. I want to ask y'all to do something with me. I work with Pastor Joe, Tyler and Travis, and we do. And we see how much effort and energy and passion he puts into doing. We get to reap the benefits of him coming up here and expounding on Revelation and all the books of the Bible that we walk through. I want to ask y'all to do something with me as he comes up. Can we pray for him? Can we pray that God refresh him and anoint him and give him power and everything? Because he pours out and he prepares and he comes in. I want us to bless him this morning as he comes. Is that okay? So y'all extend your hand to Joe as he comes up. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that every preparation that Joe made this morning to serve your people, every scripture he read, every prayer and time of prayer that he took to get an understanding of the scriptures that he's going to expound on, Holy Spirit, I pray a fresh anointing would stir up in him. I pray a fire will begin to fan up inside of him, God. I pray that no weapon formed against him will prosper, a weapon of anxiety or a weapon of what am I going to do or what am I going to say, but he'll be freely led by your Spirit, Lord, to share wisdom and understanding and change our hearts and minds towards what you are and what you plan to do in this life, God. Fresh anointing, fall on Pastor Joe this morning. Empower him to do things beyond his ability in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Brock, and thank you for your prayers. And I'll tell you what, you may really unleash a forest fire because I've got some fire in me already. But, oh, it's great to see you guys here. I hope you're doing well, and I'm really excited to be able to meet, even in this unique way. It's great, though. It's really awesome, and I hope you're excited about life and the things that are before us. Because we have some wonderful things that are before us. Really, really wonderful. Not just in the next life, but right now, right in the midst of this. And I hope I can encourage you. So we have been doing a study called The Revelation of Jesus Christ, which has really been us walking through the book of Revelation. Okay, and Revelation was a revelation of Jesus Christ given to John, one of Jesus' apostles. He's probably in his early 90s. At the time that he receives this revelation, and it is letting him know so that he can tell us things that are going to come in the end. And it's really exciting because, you know, we got the whole Jesus wins thing. So, you know, we want to get through the season, and we know we win the championship, and then we can celebrate, right? Okay. I don't know. Will there be champagne at the celebration in heaven? I don't know about that. Okay. Maybe. Who knows? There'll be wine for sure, right? It'll be good wine. So let me do a quick review, just catching us up a little bit from last week. Last week in Revelation chapter 12, Satan and his demons were banished from heaven. Now, some of us struggle and say, what do you mean banished from heaven? Aren't they already banished from heaven? Well, they don't live in heaven, but they have the opportunity to perhaps talk to God and probably bring accusations against us. The apples of God's eyes, his people. So, but at a certain point in Revelation chapter 12, we see Satan and his demons banished from heaven. At this point in the tribulation, Satan's attacks center now on the earth, with Israel being his main target. As Israel then runs for his life, we saw last week that the two wings of what John saw in his vision, the great eagle, the two wings of the great eagle, a possible reference. I believe it's a reference to the United States of America. I've heard people say that we're not in prophecy. Listen, you go through the books of the prophetic books in the Old Testament, and you're not seeing names of lots of countries, okay? So we may not be around, who knows, but I think we will be, and I think we will still be one of the countries that is trying to step in and protect Israel. But we, this great eagle, will provide Israel with protection, and Satan will not be able to get at Israel. So now he focuses, frustrated by his inability to get at Israel, he now attacks those who are becoming Christians during the tribulation. So I want to throw something out for you that I noticed. I was preaching this last week. I didn't notice it till this week. Notice how Satan's attacks are redirected when he's resisted. You notice that? He kicked out of the heavens, so he focuses on earth. And then he starts to focus on Israel. They're protected by the great eagle, so he focuses on those that are becoming Christians. His attacks are redirected when he's resisted. Maybe that's why James wrote to us in James chapter 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So if you find yourself struggling with anxiety about what's taking place, please don't allow that to take place. Because as you and I resist the devil, as we draw near to God, God draws near to us. As we resist the devil, he runs, he flees, he'll go find someone else that he can mess with. So I'd love to have the kind of understanding with my enemy that, hey, you ain't messing with me. Because I'm drawing near to God, and he is drawing near to me, and I'm going to resist you, devil, and I know what you're going to do. You're going to run away. But he's going to find someone else that he can get at. And apparently there are lots that he can get at. In chapter 13, we met two key members of Satan's team. The first member is known as the beast that comes out of the sea. This is the Antichrist, who's given power by the dragon, and the dragon is Satan. You say, how do you know this? Because as you go through the scriptures and John gives these visions, he's explaining to us when he talks about it as the beast out of the sea, it was a man, but he was coming and he saw him looking like a beast. Okay? And he was coming out of the sea, and then but we're given these answers. The beast, the Antichrist, receives a wound, a mortal wound, a wound that should kill him, but the wound is healed, and the world will marvel. People on the earth will worship the dragon, who is Satan, and they'll worship the beast, who is the Antichrist. They'll worship them. The beast will come to full power during the second half of the tribulation and will reign for 42 months, 3.5 years, 1,260 days. I keep repeating these things because many people feel like, I can't understand the book of Revelation. Well, try reading it. And don't try and understand every single thing. Try and get the idea. And there's some, we can grasp more than just Jesus wins. Okay? But you just kind of break it down and begin to see what's taking place. And I hope that that's what I've been able to do for you. The second member of Satan's team is the false prophet. Whereas the Antichrist is a human being given power by Satan himself, the false prophet is also a human being, and he's the right-hand man of Antichrist. And he makes all people on earth worship Antichrist and worship something called the image of the beast. The image of the beast is some kind of a hologram, a statue. Well, wait a second. We tear down statues, right? That statue will stay standing, okay? That one will stay standing. It'll be some kind of a symbol of Antichrist, because as a man, he is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. Okay, So he has to give the illusion he's everywhere, so there'll be an image of the beast. Maybe there'll be many of them, and people will have to bow down to the image of the beast. All people on earth will be forced to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and without this mark, a person will not be allowed to buy or to sell. Okay? So I hope and pray that this is revelation made simple to understand. I hope that's what's happening. So let's continue, though, and let's move into chapter 14. John says, then I looked. Now, this was a long vision, okay? And he continues to tell us what he's seeing in this vision. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion. Mount Zion represents the mountain of God. It's a literal mountain in Israel, but it represents the mountain of God. On Mount Zion stood the Lamb. The Lamb is Jesus. And with him, 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. Now, this is one heck of a tattoo, right? There's 144,000 servants of God. Now, we met them in chapter 7. John first saw them in his vision in chapter 7. And we learned that they were 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, Israel being God's chosen people, his chosen nation. And these 144,000 are sealed with the Father's name and the Lamb's name on their forehead. Okay? They have a mark, not the image of the beast. They have the mark of the Father and of the Lamb. Okay? So verse 2, let's learn a little bit what's going on. And John says, and I heard a voice from heaven like the roar of many waters. Now, I want you to imagine you're whitewater rafting and you hear whoosh, whoosh, or you're on a beach and the waves are really pounding like a roar of many waters and like the sound of thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps, and they were singing. So he's saying they weren't by the ocean, okay? And they weren't in a concert where people were playing harps. And it wasn't a thunderstorm. He's saying they were singing, and the singing was so powerful that it was like these things that he described. It was like the roaring of the ocean and like the sound of thunder and like with the beauty of a harps that were playing. And he says, and they it was singing, though. It was people singing, this 144,000. They were singing a new song before the throne. God is at the throne. And before the four living creatures who were also at the throne. And before the elders. Now, we've already met these groups of people. And they were all at the throne worshiping God. And now the 144,000 are worshiping God with this amazing, powerful voices that were just beautiful. And he says this, no one could learn that song, the song being sung by the 144,000, except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. So John hears these servants singing a song before the throne that only they could sing. Only they could sing. So I have a question. Why are these 144,000 Jews, we learn they were Jews in chapter 7, this 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, why are they so special? What's so special about them? Verse 4. It is these, the 144,000, who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. Okay? So this is 144,000 who were raised up during the tribulation from the nation of Israel to worship and serve the Lamb, Jesus Christ. This is kind of unique because Israel right now is not so fond of Jesus. They have to this point rejected Jesus by and large. Not all Jews, But many Jews have rejected Jesus. But this, during the tribulation, there'll be 144,000 Jews that are raised up, 12,000 from each tribe, and they will be doing great and marvelous works for God. And they're virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb, and in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. So we don't know a whole lot about them, but we know that these are special witnesses for God, who God will raise up during the seven-year tribulation period. So I'm going to give you some, I'm not calling them observations. These are just some thoughts that I have. That we can take a book, you say, how do we make the book of Revelation relevant? Well, if relevant means it meets your needs today, well, I don't know that I can make it relevant because it's something that happens in the future. I sure know it can bring us hope, but maybe there are ways it can be relevant. And how about this? Special callings result in special rewards. Their ability to sing this new song, only they could sing the song. No one else could sing the song except them. They had a special calling on their lives. There were sacrifices involved with that, and it resulted in a special reward for them. And I'm going to talk to you later on. By the way, I'm introducing a new aspect to our Sunday morning gatherings. I'm calling it Spiritual Survival Tips for crazy times like this. And I'm going to do it after the sermon. We're going to sing a song, and I'm going to come back up, and we're going to try it, because I want to make sure that I am helping. I know that the book of Revelation is relevant, but maybe it's too high and too far ahead, and I'm going to try and bring us something every week for us today, for today, even though I know, as we think about tomorrow, the best way to get through today as a believer is to know what's coming tomorrow. But I want to be a little more relevant and practical, and I'm going to add that. So at the end of this sermon, then I'm going to come back. I'm going to still stay in the same time frame, okay? But I'm going to bring you something, and I'm going to talk to you about some of the special callings on your lives that are disguised. You think they're curses from the enemy, but they're actually blessings from God. They're special callings that may and often involve suffering that give you and I the opportunity to receive special rewards right now. We'll get to that later on. Okay, verse 6, let's continue. John is saying, he says, then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. Okay. Fear God. This is what they're saying. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. So this angel is flying during, now we're past the midpoint of the tribulation, God's furor, His wrath is coming upon the earth, and yet the gospel is still being presented to a world that, by and large, has rejected him. And yet the gospel, it still goes out. By the way, where it says all will hear the gospel and then the end will come, I believe we're to bring the gospel to the whole world, but I believe this angel is the one who will bring the gospel to the entire world, and then the end will come. So this angel, and again, I could be wrong, okay? So I might be, and it's okay, and you can come up with your plan, and we can all rejoice as we look forward to things that are mostly unknown, but we can get a whole lot from it. That's what I think, okay? So this angel flies overhead proclaiming the eternal gospel to all who dwell on the earth, every nation, tribe, language, and people, giving them a chance to respond to Jesus. Here's just a really neat thought that I have. Even in times of judgment, God continues to call people to respond to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. He is relentless. He never stops calling out to those that he wants to respond to him, showing his heart to see all come to repentance. He never, ever gives up on us. Verse 8. Okay. Another angel, a second, followed. Now again, John, I keep reminding you because I want you to see, this is not like Paul's writings where he's writing to the church how to live. This is a vision, and he's receiving this vision. And John, for the most part, done none. Do you think he really understood what technology would bring to us as far as taking a mark on your forehead or on your wrist? Do you think John, in first century, living in the first century, could even fathom what we know today is in place to see that happen? He's just writing down what he sees and the words that he's hearing. It's amazing how we can see and feel it. You can feel it happening, even though it might not happen for 1,000 years. It could happen today, or next week, or next month, or next year. Okay? So he says, there's another angel. And if angel followed saying, now, and again, this is, God is really bringing down this world. It says, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She, speaking of Babylon, who made all nations drink the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. So here we have this angel declaring Babylon the Great has fallen. And you get the idea, this is fallen for the last time. Okay, she, Babylon, has made all nations drink of the wine of her sexual immorality. What is Babylon here referring to? What does this mean? Now, I'm going to tell you what I think it means. Okay, and again, I would love to hear what you think it means. And I may be right, you may be wrong, you may be right, I may be wrong. It's just an idea. But here's what I think Babylon is referring to. I believe it's referring to the sinful and corrupt political, financial, and sexual ways of the world. I think Babylon represents the world in rebellion against God. And I think this is involving, Babylon is going to be destroyed and taken down. And it says that people are going to weep. How could this great Babylon be taken down? I don't think it's talking about the literal city of Babylon. I think it's talking about the world system that we don't even know any different. We just know, wow, the world system, it's there. We have money. And we think as Americans, we are at the top of the world system. Be careful about being proud of that. Okay? Be careful about what you're proud about. I'm proud. I am a happy American. I have American flags in my backyard and God bless America and different things like that. I love this country. But I'm proud that I belong to God's family. And I'm proud that my leader is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world and is going to rule and reign. But Babylon is referring to this world system that is, we know now, don't we? We know that politics is corrupt. Don't we know that? Okay. And if you didn't know it, I don't know where you've been hiding. But maybe 20 years ago, we didn't. Maybe we were not as wise as we are realizing that there's corruption in politics. There's corruption in financial things. Did you watch The Wolf on Wall Street? Okay, I watched another. I couldn't watch the whole thing because it was too. There were too many things there that went against what's in my heart as a follower of Jesus Christ. I wanted to watch it to have an understanding, but they were bringing a lot more. They were bringing some of that sexual immorality into that, if I remember correctly, okay? Me and Tony shut it off. But the financial, just, I watched the movie the other night. Tony, you don't have a lot to do, you know? So we watched the movie. It was, I can't remember the name of it, but it was about a money plane. Gambling on a plane. Anyone know the name of it? They went on a plane, the 10 like richest people in the world, and they were gambling on things. They were locked on this plane, and it just shows you what money does to people. You know, they're betting on how fast it takes the man who gets bit by the cobra to die. They were betting on how long it takes for the piranha to eat the man. And they're throwing real people, you know. This is on video. They were showing it, but it was live streamed. And they throw the guy in the water and these people. And the people that were on the plane, how were they making their money? Sex trafficking and selling arms to countries that had, you know, try and blow them. And you just look at what money is to people who don't know Jesus Christ. We just get it all confused. This is the system that I call it. It's Babylon. And then, of course, sexual immorality. Confusion when it comes to the beautiful thing that God created. You want to know how beautiful it is? Read the Song of Solomon. I just read that this past week. And Solomon writes this amazing story about the love between a man and a woman, how God designed it beautifully. Now, Solomon even got tripped up just a little bit when he decided to marry 700 women and have 300 mistresses, okay? I just get a kick out of him writing that, you know? And you see how it's a system, a world system, that can suck us in and eat us up. It stands for all the things in this world that stand contrary to the ways of God. Be careful not to become part of this corrupt world system. We're to be in the world, not of the world. Because Babylon is coming down. It will be destroyed when God sends judgment. Verse 9. Believe it or not, I'm almost finished. And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast. Now, I have to yell because the angel was speaking with a loud voice, okay? If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. It's a warning. It's a warning. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. This is speaking to those who experience the wrath of God because their sins have not been covered by the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Well, Joe, God is love. I know he's love. That's why the gospel keeps going out. That's why God keeps trying to bring people back to him, keeps calling people out of the world and onto the narrow road to follow him. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or night. These worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. There will be no escaping the judgment of God. It's time for us to take a stand for Jesus Christ. It's time. It's time for us to claim our allegiance is to the Lamb, to the Son, to Jesus Christ. By the way, this idea of taking the mark, people will not take the mark by mistake or by trickery. You will be a worshiper of the Antichrist. the image of the beast for you to take this. So don't be getting worried, because there's a lot of talk about what's happening now. People can see these things happening, and some people are like, what if I accidentally, what if I get a vaccination and somehow within it is the mark? It's like, it's not going to be in a covert way. It will be very overt. Antichrist will be killed. He'll rise from the dead. Jesus will be forgotten because the church is gone, and people will choose to follow him. I don't believe we as Christians will be there for that. I could be wrong. But I do not believe that we will be able to be tricked, or we will accidentally take a mark that puts Satan's hand on us. We belong to Jesus Christ, and we're safe as we walk with him. Verse 12, just a couple more verses. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints. Now, the saints he's referring to are people who became believers during the tribulation. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Christians saved during the tribulation will need endurance and great faith during this time. Verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed are those who become Christians during the tribulation and die during that time. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, from their deeds, for their deeds follow them. Even those who either never heard of Christ or reject Christ enter the tribulation, become believers during that time, even they will have the opportunity to earn great rewards as they follow the Lamb. It's going to be a lot more difficult than it is for you and I to follow him today. It's really easy. You know why I'm up here preaching my heart and soul out? Is because it will never be easier to respond to Jesus than right now. Right now. I can't wait to tell you what I'm going to tell you, the spiritual tips to survive. I can't wait for that. But let me just, one last little section of scripture. Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. When it comes to the idea of those people that wait and have to become Christians during a very difficult time. Listen to this parable Jesus told. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first son and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. I'm not going and working in any vineyard. It's hot. We're in Texas, man. What do you got me working in a vineyard in July? I will not. But afterward, he changed his mind and he went. And he went to the other son and said the same. Go work in the vineyard. And he answered, I go. I will, sir, but he did not go. So one says, I'm not going, but he goes and does it. The other says, oh, of course I will, Daddy. After all you've done for me, I'll go work in the vineyard. But then he got distracted, and he wound up not going at all. Jesus says it's a parable. It's an earthly story, but a spiritual, a heavenly meaning. Jesus says, which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first, the one who said no, but then went ahead and did it. Jesus says, truly, I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, the ones who were saying no to God, they'll go into the kingdom before you. He was speaking to people who were saying yes to God, but not really in their hearts. And he said those tax collectors, they were cheats, financial cheats. They were part of Babylon, right? And prostitutes, they were part of Babylon, okay? They're going to go into my kingdom before you. For John the Baptist, came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him. You see, What we say is not as important as what we do. And I want to challenge each and every one of us to start putting actions behind our words. The Father says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You say, I will, but then we don't. He says, I want you to get away, get out of the world. You're in the world, you're not of the world. I will get out of the world, but we find ourselves enmeshed in it. He says, I want you to worship me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We will. But then we give our hearts to other things. God will always, listen, I'm not here preaching judgment. I'm here preaching grace. God will always provide a way for us to respond and be faithful to him and thus to be rewarded. Today, even during the tribulation, don't let mistakes from your past interfere with the blessings God wants to give you today. So yesterday I had someone come to my house to, I met him at a funeral that we did here at the church. And it wasn't someone from our church. And he takes cement floors and he turns them into, they look like wood, they look like whatever you want it to look like. So he came over and we were talking and we got to talking about the Lord. And he told me, he said, you know, I'm an ex-felon. I said, that's great. Our church is full of them. I said, by the way, I'm proud to be able to say that our church is full of people who have made mistakes and failed. And we talked a little bit, and I knew a little bit about him. And I have a way of getting into a person's life. And I said, so you married to that woman that I met at the funeral? Well, no. I said, are you living as if you are? Well, yeah. I said, yeah, I kind of thought that. I'm pretty used to it. I said, hey, his name is Tony, okay, with a Y, not an I. My wife is Tony with an I, okay? I make that distinction. I said, do you believe in Jesus? He said, yes, I do, and I can tell he does. And this is a good man. I said, why don't you live consistently in all your life? I said, why don't you just either, if you say, why don't you marry her? Just marry her. And then I looked, I saw a little hesitation. And I said, but if you don't want to marry her, why don't you just stop living like you are? And then wait till you're ready to make that commitment. You imagine I could say that to someone I just met them? And the guy's like, thanks so much, man. You're a great guy. I really appreciate you and all this stuff. See, people want to hear the truth. When you speak the truth in love, I have found people respond. No judgment. Why would I judge? What's to judge? But call people to follow Jesus. You know what I want to do for you? You know that area of your life that it's kind of like, you know what he said to me? I said, well, you know, I said, the scripture kind of says, wait. He said, Joe, you don't have to tell me. We know what's right and wrong. He said, we know. And what he was saying was, we know living together is not what God wants. We know. And you know, if there's an area of your life right now and you're allowing it to be there, it's a little bit of, it smells like Babylon. It just smells like it. And why don't you let the light of Jesus shine on anything that smells like Babylon? And listen, Babylon is coming down. God is going to destroy it. If you know Jesus Christ, you're not going to be part of that destruction. But why would you leave a little bit of Babylon in your life? Why wouldn't you want to get as close to him as you can so that you're as far away from that which he will someday judge? Isn't that something that... So I just want to call you to do what you know to be right. Whatever the area of your life that looks and smells and even tastes like Babylon, why don't you allow the grace of God that comes through Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit to allow you to overcome that. And let's be the men and women the followers of the Lamb. Is it? It's a little more personal. Follow Jesus Christ. I mean, that's great. I mean, that's wonderful. But it's a little more personal when we say we're followers of the Lamb. The Lamb. We follow the Lamb. Lord, we come before you now. Would you help us? Would you help us to remove Babylon? We know you're going to destroy it someday. Help us to remove Babylon from our lives, even now. During this song, would you declare to the Lord that area of your life that needs to go? Would you declare it as Babylon, part of the world system that God will someday destroy? Call it that. And then let's together, let's go to war. We work with the Holy Spirit. He's in us to help us to overcome. Lord, help us to overcome anything in our lives that doesn't look, smell, taste, and feel like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Make a way for, make a way for, make a way for the King is coming, oh.
Make a way for.
Let's give a round of applause for that. So I love it that we ended on that song, and I hope you catch all the threads I think that the Spirit is weaving through this morning. The way we make way for the King is when our actions become louder than our words. And there's no volume with actions, but they carry so much more weight, don't they? Right? We've all been said, yeah, I'll pray for you, but you feel like, man, that was just the thing maybe someone said just so that they could move on in the conversation. But then when you encounter someone who said, they follow back up with you, right? And they say, I actually did pray for you this week like I said I would. Doesn't that action carry more than the fact that they said that they would pray? And so then I just want to point you to something that was highlighted to me, I think, in the sermon. And it was, how does the worship of the 144,000 sound like a bunch of harpists and the roar of the ocean? It's the actions becoming louder than their words. So as Joe keeps saying, it's time, such a time as this for the church to become what it is. It's the roar, our actions of how we live and how we interact in the world. That's the time. It's holding right now. Right? So let's do that. Let's stop running our mouths and start running our feet. Let's stop talking and let's start using our hands. Let's stop stopping short of taking that next step where our actions become louder than our words. There's the risk. There's the danger. We might get rejected, but He will never reject us. He will never reject us. Amen? And just a couple announcements. I'm going to bring Joe right back up. So we have one way that you could do that is join us on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock. Let our actions fill this room instead of just praying with our words, right? Every week we have prayer service. We pray over those requests. We thank you so much. Keep them coming. Gino's small group prays before 7 at 6 as well. You can join them for that as well. If you can't make 7, come at 6 o'clock. It's real simple. We've got VBS this week as well, 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Youth camp is continuing at 5 o'clock this Thursday. So I think it's going to be dinner and a movie. It sounds like a lot of fun. And then Joe talked about this last week. So Joe knows. So anything that he's putting out, whether it's a word from his heart or a conversation on racial reconciliation or financial ideas and things to live your life by or what else he's got planned, you can find that on the website at Joe Knows. You can find that on YouTube. There's channels, and then he has a specific channel. So make sure you check that out. Subscribe to it. The more subscribers, the more exposure he gets because he has, you know, we want to leverage what God's put in him for not just for us, but for other people. That's another way that our actions become more than our words, right? Yeah. So there you go. Joe, come on back up.
Okay. Thank you, Ty. And by the way, what I'm covering, Thursday we released one. It's about how to integrate your calling with your passions. And I think hopefully it'll be helpful. So a couple of people have talked to me, and they said, Joe, you know, Revelation is good. We love the fact that Jesus wins. But some of us are really struggling, you know, through this time, and it's difficult. And I was like, wow, okay, you know, I realize that ultimately, you know, the Jesus wins part is good for the future, but how about getting through now? So I decided that, and I need a little feedback. I want you to tell me after the fact if you think this is helpful, because I've decided to shorten my sermon and then kind of come up and do this. And I'm calling it Spiritual Survival Tips for Uncertain Times. And I want to share some things. This is really more from my heart. I want to tell you some tried and tested things from my own experience that I've learned that are helping me to soar through this time. So let me just kind of share my first little thing with you. When it comes to the physical, our physical well-being, when you get a checkup, when you go to the doctor for a checkup and you haven't been there for a while and you find out you have high blood pressure, your cholesterol is high, your weight is up, and you've got maybe early heart issues, it can be a wake-up call, right? Something like that happens. You're like, what? I thought I was Superwoman or Superman, right? Okay. And how do you get better? You know, well, you begin doing the right things. You start to eat better, exercise, Maybe it even involves medication. And effective change will involve, which involves dropping of bad habits and picking up of good habits, a good lifestyle. It's going to help you to get better. Okay? So if I was able to give, if you were able to take a spiritual checkup right now, okay, if Jesus could give you, he's the great physician. So if he gave you a spiritual checkup, what would he find? Where would he find, wow, you know, you got too much of this and too much of that, not enough of this. And so I want, Jim, did you want to tell us what he would say? Okay. So I want to, this is not preaching. This is me sharing with you. So I want to talk to you about my 12 years of suffering with anxiety, which ended less than a year ago. I want to talk to you about that. See, about almost 13 years ago, God saw some things that were lacking in my life. And he knew that I would not be able to lead the church through these types of times the way he wanted me to, with those weaknesses in my life. So God allowed, but I'm going to throw something in that may really get your theology, perhaps even orchestrated, suffering so that I would become strong enough to lead our church through this present time, but I didn't know it at the time. During that time of suffering, now I'm not talking about 12 days or even 12 months. I talked to you about it all the way through. I told you, I have an anxiety disorder and all that stuff. I don't know what I have. All I know is that I went through a very terrible time. And during that time of suffering, I had to accept, maybe a better word, I had to embrace my circumstances. They wouldn't go away. Oh, they'd be gone. They would come and go. I'd have two horrible weeks, and then it would be gone for 12 days, and then it would get triggered, and it'd come back for 3 weeks or 5 weeks or 7 weeks. And I had to stop counting that because I would get discouraged, because especially in the beginning, the times of suffering were way longer than the times of relief. And every time I had relief, I thought it was over, only to have it come back. And I had to decide that I was going to keep walking in faith regardless of how I felt. Now, you think I'm overstating this, but I'm not. You think, well, Joe, you don't know what I'm going through. And, let me tell you. When you say to the Lord, Lord, can you take me? Can you take me? Or do you need someone to die for you? Because I don't want to live. But I knew there was a calling on my life, and I knew that I needed to keep walking. And I did. And then what happened was, then I'd go 3 months, and it would be gone, and then it'd come back, but maybe just for a month. So it was getting better, but it never left. And not only that, the memory of the suffering and the fear. I don't know if you've ever had anxiety. I don't get anxiety attacks. I just have the constant anxiety through. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't enjoy anything because less than a year ago, the suffering and the anxiety subsided and it ended. Where were you during those 12 years? No, I'm just kidding. You know what I noticed? I was like, wow, I'm stronger. Not physically, my faith. I was like, wow, I'm strong. Things don't bother me, you know? I noticed a greater resistance to fear. Now, recently, see, when I would have that anxiety, I'm up here preaching to you. You know the kind of person I am. I want to step out. If there's something happening, I want to be in the middle of it, bringing Jesus to it. Okay, and I continued to do that, but I had this horrible anxiety, and I would feel shame. I felt like I wasn't worthy to be your pastor. Even though I was living out everything I was preaching, I probably became more worthy to be your pastor as I accepted the suffering that perhaps God allowed or maybe he orchestrated. But it's very confusing. It's just very confusing. And I just continued. And first of all, the Lord said to me, he said, by the way, Joe, he said, when you continued following me and ministering and serving me through those times, just want you to know how proud of you I was. I was like, Lord, I thought you were ashamed of me. He said, no, Joe, that's the enemy. He said, I was proud of you. And he told me that he, 6 months ago, he said, I allowed 12 years of suffering so you could lead Crossroads through this time now. Because I have no fear. In fact, I can't wait. Listen. At night, I go, Tony and I watch Seinfeld, one a day, 21 minutes, it's the episode, and she goes to bed, we pray, and I go in the hot tub to pray, and then I come out of the hot tub, and then I read 13 chapters of the Bible, I'm on my second time through the Bible, okay, and then I go to sleep listening to worship music, and I try to stay awake as long as I can, because all I do is when I'm lying in bed, you should see, I just smile when I hear a song that reminds me of how good God is, of his faithfulness, of his love for us, and all that stuff. And then I fall asleep, but I wake up when Tony snores. Okay. Listen, this is a deal. And as soon as, I don't ask her to stop, as soon as she snores and I wake up, I go out in my backyard and I spend time with the Lord. Now, I do fall back to sleep, but then I wake up and pray and back. And because the Lord told me, Joe, the more time you spend with me, the greater will be your anointing when you preach. So because I gave you 12 years of suffering, so you can now lead with strength and with courage. And I it's the greatest. So this morning, I really slept in. It was about 5:45 when I went out there. But yesterday, it was 4 a.m. And I was out there till 8:30. Listen, I'm telling you this for one reason. I'm telling you this because I have found him in such a way that he is the greatest in the world. I can't wait. In fact, I can't wait to get home. I got to do some work around the house. I got some marriage coaching after this. But I can't wait to get home so I can begin to get ready to spend all night with him. Now, all of that came through 12 years. Of suffering, feeling shame, feeling unworthy to even be a Christian, let alone lead such a great church like this one. So here's survival tip number one. I'm going to give you one every week, okay? And if you were going to write something down, write this down. Or just go back and listen to it, and you can write it there. Accept and embrace the circumstances you presently find yourself in. Accept is the first step. Second, embrace it. Joe, you don't understand. I have a sickness that could lead to death. Accept it and embrace it and make the last days of your life like none other. You say, you don't understand. My family's falling apart. Accept it and embrace it. Do everything you can to change it, but put your arms around it. You're going to find God's will going through whatever he puts before you, not going around it. Purpose to walk through your circumstances in faith, regardless of how you feel. I did it for 12 years. And the only relief I had was when I would preach. Because when I preached, I just felt his power. But then when I would leave, I felt empty again. So I tried to preach as much as I could, you know. But during that time of me pushing through, I was building up muscles, spiritual muscles, that would carry me through a time like this when everything around us is falling apart. This is what I say every day. I'm so excited to be alive today this is awesome. We have no idea what's going to happen, and it is amazing that we get to walk with Jesus at a time like this. Now, I'm hoping that this can rub off on you because it was 12 years of suffering that got me to this place. 12 years ago, I could not have gone through this in that way. But today I can. Stop asking God to take away whatever it is you're struggling with. Trust him. Ask him to give you the strength to walk through it. You hear me? Entrust him with your life. Look to the things ahead with confidence and with the knowledge that he is going to walk through it with you. And even when you feel like you can't, when you keep walking, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That as you keep walking by faith and not by sight, you're making him proud. Anyone can serve God the way I am when you feel the way I feel. It's easy. This is easy. Leading and serving and following those 12 years. The Lord didn't tell me last night, I'm proud of you. He just said, you learned, now go use what you got. But during those times when I struggled through it to put one foot in front of the other, and most of you didn't know it. If I didn't tell you, none of you would have known it. That was the grace of God working in my life. Entrust him with your life. Are you worried about you or a loved one getting COVID, dying from COVID? Are you afraid of losing your job, losing your business? Are you afraid that you're watching the crumbling of our country? Are you afraid of facing the end of the world, the coming of Jesus Christ? Put your arms around it. Embrace it. Accept it and embrace it. I want to close with a verse from 1 Corinthians 10:13. No testing or temptation has overtaken you. No testing has overtaken. You know what? I'm forgetting the verse. Let me go look at it now. I have it memorized, but it's okay. Oh, no temptation or testing has seized you except what is common to man. What you're going through, listen, as I read through the Old Testament, you know what's awesome? They went through this kind of stuff. When Israel was judged and sent into captivity, they went through this. They saw their world taken right away from them. So if you lived in CHOP in Seattle or CHOP in Portland, what if your house was right in there? All this stuff, all of God's promises apply. No temptation or testing has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tested beyond what you can bear, but with the testing, with the temptation, he'll provide a way of escape so you can stand up under it. Embrace it and walk through it in faith. Amen? Lord, I thank you so much. I'm not volunteering for another 12 years. But if I need to, Lord, I trust that you'll bring me through whatever it is. And Lord, whatever you need to do for me to fulfill my calling to serve you and to serve our people, I'm willing to walk through it. I really understand ministry now more than I ever did before, Lord. And I'm so grateful that you've entrusted me to do this. Lord, each of us has a calling on our lives. Give each and every one listening the ability to embrace the suffering, the challenges that come, that can allow us to experience you carrying us through. And then we can live our lives so excited about what you're going to do. I pray that we could experience this together as your people. And as a church, that we will shine like never before. And even if it gets darker in America, regardless of what happens, that we can shine for you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. If you like this kind of thing, the way I'm doing it, let me know and we'll continue. But God bless you. Have a wonderful day. You are dismissed.